Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There's the whistle. Go, go, go! Second half, my three subs action from the Center Circle Studios.
Don DeWeese, it's so great to have you in the studio today. And even though I think you yellow carded me as a kid, I have been waiting for this day on my calendar to get a chance to sit down and talk with you. Thanks again for coming in. How are you, sir?
I am doing great today, Tim. Thank you for having me in.
You have such a great soccer story comes out of Memphis. Now, you're a Philadelphia boy, though, right?
Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Yeah, South Philly, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm from North Philly.
Oh, you're from North Philly?
North Philly.
I know you've been in Memphis for most of your life, and soccer has run through your blood for quite some time. Where does your soccer story start, Don?
Well, my oldest son, Blair, was in the second grade at St. Dominic School for Boys. And they sent a letter out to all the parents saying, we need soccer dads, soccer moms, assistant coaches, head coaches. We need referees. And so my wife was so gung-ho because this was our firstborn child. She checked every box. Well, when they saw the box the referee was checked, obviously I got a call. So I said, I can donate my time to help my son. So I go over there. So I started refereeing the little kids' soccer game.
How long did that take, by the way, to get the license?
Two or three sessions at night. No, okay. No big deal. That's just an entry-level referee. So I started refereeing the little soccer leagues to support my child. Just like a couple of months later, there was a guy named Tony Stanley who saw me referee a game, and he came up after me in the game, and he says, you need to referee high school. And I said, man, you crazy. I'm out here just helping my son. And I didn't know at the time that he was from England and was a huge, huge soccer person growing up because nobody in the United States was. And he had a track to Keith Walker, who was a former World Cup referee, and that he was the head of the National North American Soccer League, NASL. I didn't know this at the time. He says, you need to do that. I said, you're crazy. So I didn't do anything, and I refereed a few more weeks, whatever it was.
Let me ask you this, Don, because if you're doing the youth game and you look there now and you see Mike Rose and soccer complexes across the country just packed to the gills on the weekend, it was a totally different beast back in the 70s, wasn't it? What was soccer like when you refereed? What were the parents like and the coaches? The savvy and the knowledge of the game probably a little different back then?
It's more about fun and going out there and, you know, win some games, lose some games. And you're going to have some coaches that take it too seriously, and they try to remember their youth. And you're going to have coaches that get out there and scream and holler at the kids, and that's not what it's about. You want to teach these guys the basics. So that's what a lot of these daddies were doing. Now, let's fast forward. So many of these people who are coaching their kids now played soccer. So, yes, you're right. They know more about it now.
Basically, on a sheet or a postcard, you get roped into doing some youth games. Then you have somebody come up and wants to rope you into doing some high school. You didn't sound too enthusiastic on your first response there, but I assume you went on and
all right.
And,
so I said, okay, I'll do that. So I went and refereed a high school game, and I didn't know what was going to come up, and I did it good. He said, well, you got to do another one. And before you know it, I was doing all the tough games in the city in less than a year. I do MUS, CBHS, I do Germantown High School, and Tony Stanley was kind of ran the referee association, he and Doyle Davis, director of instruction, and in a referee team, you either have it or you don't. I think it's something you're born with. You can always improve on something, but even in my day, both amateur and professionally in college, you have referees in the center. You have linesmen. They call them assistant referees now, but linesmen on the side. And the key to being on the side is offsides. And it is a bang, bang, split hair decision. And I've seen people who still cannot see it. They don't understand it. They cannot comprehend it. I can sit in the stands, Tim, and tell you offsides from 40 yards away as soon as the ball is touched, and I'll get 98% of them. I can go to a game and watch a game for 10 minutes, and I can tell you if that referee has really got it or if he doesn't, just by watching him.
It sounds like you watch the game probably differently than most people do because of where you typically are on a pitch, and that's as a referee. A lot of fans will not see that coming. Is that just something you look for? Do you watch the game differently than most people, you think?
I watch all sports differently. When I go to a basketball game here, I watch the referees as much as I watch the actual action. I'm very good friends with referees.
Don DeWeese joining us on the podcast today, and great to have him in. We're walking through his personal history of officiating. He started as a youth volunteer and then moved on to high school, but then bigger games kept calling, I guess. When did, I guess, the bigger games come? What was next for you? Was it college?
Well, not really. I don't think it could be done today. I'm probably the only professional referee in the United States that never played a game. Being in the right place at the right time, you've heard that before, which I was. So Tony Stanley, after I did a whole lot of these high school games, he wrote a letter to Keith Walker, the head of the North American Soccer League. And Keith Walker invited me to training camp for the North American Soccer League. I mean, I thought, what? I'd only been refereeing a year and a half. And I got invited to the North American Soccer League training camp.
Now, had you had, other than that initial round of referee instruction for the youth games, had you had any continuing education or anything else since that very beginning?
I might have had something. We're talking to Tony Stanley and everything, but I read a lot.
Okay.
So I go up there, and then a uniform comes in the mail. And I'm saying, I just pitched myself. I'll tell you this. I smoked back then, which a lot of people did back in the old days, because this is the late 70s. And I have a very good friend named Dr. Carl Shea, who's an ear, nose, and throat guy. And he says, Don, if you'll quit smoking, you will have 25% more win while you're out there running, because a referee runs in a professional game about 5 miles. So he says, I can acupuncture you. And I thought that was just psychological or junk. But I know Carl Shea is good as anybody, and he's the most serious person about medicine you would ever know. So I said, if he's doing it, there's something there. So I had my Salems, and I rode down Poplar, and I smoked one right after another all the way down there. And we go down basically at Poplar and Cleveland.
Just saying goodbye to cigarettes.
And so you got to have a little bit of a willpower to try to do it, or a reason. So I got out of my car, took that last puff on that Salem, took my pack of cigarettes and threw them in the bushes as I walked in his door, and that was in 1979. And I've never smoked another cigarette since then, nor do I want one.
Was he right? Did you have better cardio?
Let's put it this way. I refereed 200 professional games, and I was very lucky, and I'm very blessed. So they had college ball here, and we started an ISOA, which is your college organization, a chapter for college refereeing. Robert Bohm, myself, Ward Terrell, and a whole bunch of people.
So were you professional, and were you assigning here locally?
Yeah. I ended up assigning. Now, when I got to professional, I was only on the line, which they call assistant referees now. You don't go. So I didn't do the middles in the NASL to get started because I was a rookie. But to run line in a professional soccer game is very, very special, and I only been refereeing less than 2 years.
Wow.
So I was just the right time at the right place. And the whole world works on not what you know, but who you know. But once you get there, you only stay there with your ability. That person that you knew that got you that interview or helped get you that job, if you don't perform, you're out.
So you were working the line in NASL. Were you doing local stuff in the meantime, or were you just focused on one thing?
Oh, yeah, I was still doing all the high school and college stuff here. That keeps you in shape to keep your eyes, to be ready for the season. I did a lot of high school games, a lot of college games here.
I know that Robert Bohm, German referee, did a ton of my youth league games, and as of this podcast, he's still probably planning to referee some indoor soccer somewhere. this weekend. But I got to tell you, people do not give Robert a hard time. That's a guy. I don't know, you know, what your relationship is with him, but as far as I've seen, this is a guy you do not argue with. This guy knows the rule book in and out, as probably as close as Don DeWeese does.
Robert Bone was a very good friend of mine. We've done many, many, many games together, so I got a good story for you. He grew up in Germany playing soccer, so he knew the game inside and out. So when he's here, he has a good personality. He knows the rules of soccer, so he's not going to have any mystery calls. He's not going to have those calls where you cause them to fights and that type of stuff. So everybody respects him. Like in the professional league, when you've done so many games in indoor and they start calling you by your first name, Don, instead of your last name, DeWeese, on the back of your jersey, you know you've made it. Yeah. Because they're gonna test any rookie. So a good Robert Baum story is when we're in the college, the number three and number five college team in the nation, Indiana, which had won many, many national championships, had a coach named Jerry Yeagerly, and there was a team in Huntsville, Alabama, and he was coached by William Oboko Cole, and these were Africans. I'm talking about from Africa. And every one of them were unbelievable soccer players, so they wanted a neutral ref. So they call our – so I took Robert Bohm and Larry Jackson over there to run line. I was in the middle. Huntsville did an offside trap, and I bet you we had double-digit offside calls because they do a trap, and that makes the linesman just run like crazy.
As a referee, does that put you on edge knowing that you're going to have to call that 10, 12 times?
No, I don't call that. That's the offside trap comes from the linesman.
That's on Robert then.
That's on Robert.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
He puts that flag up. I blow the whistle. I'm not worried about it. So we go in at halftime. He said, Don, I'm not going back out. I said, Robert, you got to. He said, Don, I can't. I don't have any energy left. He said, they're killing me. He said, I'm not going back out. I said, Robert, we just drove from Memphis. You're going back out. Kyle Rote Jr. had written with us. He was the coach of the Americans. He wanted to see the game. So he's sitting up in the stands, which you'll understand in just a minute. So I said, Robert, this is the first half. It's over with. You're not going to have those offside traps. Larry Jackson's got it on the other end. Okay, I'll go back out. So we go back out. Right in the first of the game, I throw somebody out of the game for whatever it was. So they playing a man down. Huntsville's playing a man down. So now everything's pressuring on the other end. He got it again. So I called a penalty kick late in the game. 0-0 score.
Uh-oh.
I called a penalty kick. So the Huntsville, University of North Alabama, whatever the name, they're kicking the penalty kick. I mean, the other team is. So
Indiana.
In Indiana.
Yeah.
So the goalie moved. So you cannot move. You couldn't move. So I disallowed it and had him re-kick it, and then he missed it. So they had never lost a game at home at Huntsville. They had never lost a game at home. So we go into overtime. Nobody scores, so it's a tie. So we start walking off the field, and we can't get off the field. They start throwing stuff out of the stands. They're throwing Coke bottles down there and everything you can think of. So we kind of go back out, and they have security there. So we try to start. We wait about 3, 4, 5 minutes. We start walking off again. They're throwing stuff out of the field.
What year is this, by the way?
Oh, about
early. Had to be 80, early 80s, right?
Yeah, early 80s. So the police comes out there, and they said, what'd you do? And I said, well, we called a game. He said, I've never seen this. So they came out in the middle. We started walking off the field, and they started throwing them again. The police was there. He says, y'all are crazy. He said, we got to get you off this field. So they call the dog squad. Dog squad drove up because it was a football field with the track around it. And they drove a police car up, and they brought the dog out there, and they started walking us off. They still were hollering and screaming. So they drove the squad car up on there, and they put the three of us in the back seat of the car. I said, look, our car is parked over there. I said, you see that guy up there in the stands? That's Kyle Roque Jr., one of the superstars three times. He's got the key to our dressing room, and he's got the key to our, my Adidas van is parked out there. He says, look, they sent another cop up there to get Kyle Roque Jr., and we met them 5 miles outside of town and got in our car. And Jerry Lake Yeagerly, they were supposed to stay in the hotel that night in Huntsville, and they were the only team in the country that traveled in a plane. And that was back in the early, because they had the number one soccer team in the country. They were only ranked third that night. So he called back later. He says, Mr. DeWeese, I've never talked to you, but I just want to let you know we've seen that call you made on tape. You were correct. He says, I didn't think there was a referee in the United States that would make that call in that environment and make them retake that kick. He says, we didn't even stay in the hotel that night. We went back to the airport, and we flew out of there. So that's Robert Baum's story.
I bet Robert was kind of at home with that, because watching Soccer Made in Germany, they always had the German shepherds around the fields in the Bundesliga. He's probably like, this is just like home.
He was so nervous. But that's the story, and they had never lost a game at home.
Wow.
And he said, I've got the tape. That's a good one.
That's a really good one. What was it like to be on the field with those guys? That I'm guessing the game moved very quickly, and there were some big personalities out there.
It was the highlight of my life. I've refereed Georgia Best, Bern Holzenbein, who took the dive in the World Cup. They won the World Cup for Germany. Franz Beckenbauer, Gerd Müller, Jan Ben Beveren, Slobo Ilieski, Pelé, Rodney Marsh. Yeah, he was a great guy. So later on, after my professional career, I owned the Memphis Storm for a year and a half with Wise Smith, and George Smith as a partner. We had to go to an owner's meeting for the American Indoor Soccer Association, AISA, American Indoor Soccer Association. And Rodney Marsh was the head coach of the Tampa Bay Rowdies, who had, because remember, the MISL had gone away right there for a while. So they were in the AISA, and he was the representative to come up there. And the Canton Invaders had an owner named Steve Paxos, who was Greek and kind of controversial a little bit. And he and Rodney Marsh got into a shouting match in this owner's meeting. And Joe Macnick, director of officials, when I was in the MISL and was now director of operations for the AISA, who later became director of operations for the Major League Soccer, was running the meeting. And those two started hollering and screaming. So I jumped up and grabbed Rodney Marsh by the chest, like a referee does sometime, or you'll see, and pushed him away. And when that meeting was over, Joe Macnick says, Don, that was the best refereeing you've ever done in your life.
I thought you were going to say you pulled out a yellow card on both of the guys.
No,
he said
that's the best refereeing he ever saw me do.
And I want to give you your due on this as well, because we talked earlier in the podcast that you basically got into youth soccer as a volunteer, and you had a little bit of a coaching up before doing that. But between there and owning the Memphis Storm, you became the first Tennessee official to get the highest licensing, right?
Yes. It's a state license, and it's hard to get that now. Now, you can go up to get FIFA, but no, that was not going to happen even with me and all the games that I did. But I got the state license fee quicker than anybody that you're going to know. I'll tell you a little quick story on Joe Macnick. When the Memphis Americans were here, they had to have an insurance referee there in case a snowstorm, somebody doesn't make it. So Joe Macnick sends a letter to Doyle Davis and Tony Stanley, which was the head of the referees here in Memphis, Tennessee, and says, I need about 6 or 7 of your referees there. We're going to have a clinic one night, going to have it at the Rivermont, because I need somebody that can be in the box AR, somebody flights canceled that we could put on just in case of emergency. It's not going to happen, but we got to have it. So, boy, I was honored. I said, man, I get to go to this. So Doyle Davis says, look, we got the biggest game of the year. Today is MUS and CBHS at CBHS. Could we possibly start it an hour later? Because we got our three best officials on that game. And so he says, sure. And Joe Macnick says, I want to come to that game. So I found that out. So he came for the first half of it. Doyle Davis picked him up at the airport, brought him back down there. I'm in the middle now. CBHS's field runs a little bit downhill. So that means you got to do more running, especially when you're running uphill. So I ran harder than usual. I ran deeper than usual because I knew the boss was out there. I mean, I was so tired when that game was over with. So right before the half, if you wanted to teach the advantage rule to any referee in the country, that means if you call a foul, you would be taking advantage away by the team that had the ball. So you have the right as an official to holler, play on, hold your hands out, and that means I see that foul, but I'm elected not to calling it because if I do call that, I'm taking advantage away from the people who have it.
Sure.
So if a guy's fixing to run down there and score a goal and you grab his jersey and pull him down, the goal's not scored. So if that guy got away, it's just an easy, sure goal. So that's an example. So there was a perfect advantage call right in front of the goal. Foul. Boom. I blew that whistle so quick to show him that I was a good referee. And I said, oh, no. It was like foul, whistle, ball in the goal. And I should have played on. I should have played the advantage. When that happens, all the players are hollering at you. So I said, kick the ball. Get the ball in play, which he did. Well, once that ball gets back in play, they quit hollering at you, screaming at you. So I said, well, my professional career in the Major Indoor Soccer League is over. So that whole – now, he left at halftime. That whole second half, that's all I could think about. I refereed it, but I said, my chance to make the Indoor Professional League is over. So game's over. We all – the three of us plus the other people meet down at the Rivermont. We have this seminar for 2 hours. I'm just sick sitting in there the whole time. I mean, just sick. We got through, go home. About 7 days later, there's a package comes in the mail, and there's a Major Indoor Soccer League uniform with my name on it. And it had a note in there from like a memo pad that had Joe Matnick's name in the Major Indoor Soccer League. He says, Don, you are now a referee, Joe Matnick. That letter is framed in my garage, and I see it every single day I walk into my garage. And none of the other people got a uniform but me.
You're so a lucky guy because you get these uniforms. You talked about you got an NASL officiating uniform in the mail. You got an MISL uniform in the mail. All I get are bills, Don. You're a charmed man.
About 3 years later, he's the head of the AISA. And I do game seven. I've done 2 game 7s in indoors. So I do game seven in I think we were in Columbus, Ohio, or Louisville, Kentucky. I can't remember. And after the game, we go out to have a drink and a little supper at the bar, and Joe Magnus there with us. And it comes up, and I mention that to him. He says, Don, I was a referee too. When I saw you do that, I knew you missed the call. But when you got that goalie to kick that ball out real quick, that showed me that you could referee. I didn't even need to go to that clinic that night. I made my mind up right there. I don't care what happened in that clinic. You were my guy.
Wow.
And I didn't know that till 2 years later.
And then you go on to actually be an instructor in MISL, right? Did you teach some officials?
Well, actually, it was in the AISA, which is that league right there.
Okay.
So the last year that before about the storm, I had gotten to be kind of the number one referee in the AISA, the American Indoor Soccer League.
Would you have more fun officiating, MISL? Or?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Or the NASL.
Well, the NASL was new and it was fun. You referee Pelé. But I had more success in the indoor because you do a lot more games. And I was in the middle blowing the whistle instead of just on the line. And you have...
Did you ever get pinged with the ball pretty good?
Oh, in Kansas City one night, I was refereeing Kansas City Comets, St. Louis Steamers. And they had two all-stars on St. Louis, Steve Petcher and Steve Ebert. Steve Petcher and something Ebert, I forget his first name. So Petcher was an all-star defender, which means he can kick the ball harder than anybody, like Helmut Dudak did for the Americans. He kicks the ball, and I'm probably 10 to 12 feet away from him. It hits me in the jaw. It knocks me 360 degrees. I hit the floor. They stop the game. I mean, the players quit going. Steve Petcher bends up. Don, you okay? Don, you okay? I get up, keep going. You know, we restart the game. And that night when we go out to eat, I couldn't even chew. My jaw was just, I mean, didn't break anything. But for Steve Petcher and Ebert to come over and bend over you and say, Don, are you okay? That tells you you've made it. And one other, I was refereeing in the practice facility here with Robert Baum one night here in Memphis. And when the ball goes out of bounds, you hold your hand up because it's an indirect kick when it comes in. And I'm watching, and so I'm looking at where the ball is or what's fixing to happen. And a player backs up, and his head hits me in the eye like a headbutt, but it was an accident because he was backing up, and I just wasn't watching. And my eye shut immediately, and they had to take me to an eye doctor, ophthalmologist that night to open my eye to get my contact out.
Of all the places you've officiated and all the things you've done on a practice facility is where you get –
that's the
get banged
the,
up
the worst end.
How about that? So you go into refereeing, and then you transition into ownership, which I assume at that point you have to stop officiating because of conflict of interest.
That's exactly right. They let me do my retirement game. I went down and did the Dallas Sidekicks, and both the bosses from the MISL came down to it. I had a Memphis Storm jersey with me. Referee tattoo that night with Gino DiPolito, which I think is the number one referee in the United States at that time, is Gino and I. He's from Yonkers, New York. When the game was over with, I put a jersey on tattoo, and he had, wearing a Memphis Storm jersey. I have a picture of that. And the game ball that night, the referees signed it, and it's in my bathroom closet, and I see that ball every day.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And, of course, the AISA how long were you an owner there?
I only stayed there a year and a half. And sometimes when you start losing something, you got to cut your losses. Well, I stayed another year and a half, and I lost in the six figures, but I paid my debts, and I didn't have to leave town. And the league was doing really, really good. We had eight teams, but what happens is four of them folded, and you can't have a league with four teams. That's probably the worst mistake I ever made, and but that's history. My oldest son, Blair, is in Seattle. He still plays. I watch most every game during the World Cup, and all my friends think I'm stupid.
What?
They think you're stupid. They don't understand soccer.
What do you think about the new team here? They've seemed to do pretty well here in the Memphis area.
I'm real proud of them, and I hope they succeed.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about, now see, that's played on a baseball field.
Yeah.
Because it's played to Memphis Chicks. I've refereed a couple of games in Wrigley Field where the Cubs play. North American Soccer League game.
Chicago Sting home.
Chicago Stings. Carnes House, Granitza, Parto Mahedic, two of the best players in the world.
That had to be surreal. How were the dimensions? Was it a smaller than typical pitch?
No. It's out there in the outfield. It was fine. But just go downtown in Chicago. And there's no parking garages. I don't know where these people park. but to do that was just amazing. To go in Giant Stadium, I've been in Giant Stadium with 77,000 fans in for a soccer game. And I've refereed on Long Island in New York.
Gotcha.
Brendan Byrne Arena.
Oh, that's right, for the New York Arrows?
Arrows, yeah.
Paul Zungle.
Paul Zungle.
Don't blink because he'll score twice.
Huh?
He'll score twice if you blink.
he was something. Giorgio Canale, too.
Yeah, Canale, and then Stan Stamenkovich for the Memphis Americans was very special.
So after the Americans left here, Tony Carbignani goes up, and he plays for the Baltimore Blast. So that was one of my favorite places to referee because I could bring home some of that seafood after a game if it was a Sunday afternoon game. It was in the Civic Center there. So in indoor soccer, if you got 3 2-minute penalties, that's like a red card. You had to go out. You suck. So I kicked Tony Carbignani out of the game in the second half, not because he did anything bad. He just had 2-minute penalties in one game. Two yellow cards is a red card.
What do they call that? Persistent infringement or something?
Something like that. So he comes up to me when I do. He says, Don, you can't throw me out. I'm from Memphis. remember Paul Child that played for the Rose?
Paul Child is still the single season goal scoring record holder here with 12, and then he moved on to Pittsburgh, right?
On to Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh's playing in Kansas City one night indoors. And Rick Benben was the coach of the Kansas City Comets. And in MISL, if you got 10 two-minute penalties, you had to sit out a game, okay?
Okay.
So it was right at the end of the season. They're going into the playoffs and everything. So Paul Child, I knew from here. I knew he and his wife, Jackie, very, very well. But he's from Pittsburgh, so I'm refereeing the game. So the game's like 5-2, 5-3, whatever. He's right toward the end of the game. It's over. Pittsburgh's got the game won or lost or whatever. So a ball goes out of bounds, and Paul Childs goes nuts, starts hollering and screaming at me. So I pull my card out and put him in the box. He started laughing like, heck, what is he going over there? And Rick Big Ben says, DeWiggs, you just going crazy. That's his 10th. He's got to sit out the next game, and it's an easy game. He says, he did that on purpose. And he did. But I don't know he's got to sit out the next game. Yeah. But, I mean, Paul Child went nuts. And as soon as I put him in the thing, he just started laughing and walking over. But, I mean, Rick Benben went crazy on me. And they know the rules. And he knew the next game was an easy game that they should win easily. So he did that on purpose, so he would set out the easy games so he would be ready for the hard games to make the playoffs.
And then Ben figured it out.
That's right.
Those were some days, for sure.
Good days.
Yeah. And it all started just because your wife checked all the boxes.
That's right. I still have a lot of friends left from that. I get a text or an email from Herb Silva, who's still all over the United States, at least once a week. I get texts from former referees all the time. And we've had a couple of reunions where we met in Baltimore one year. We met in about 3 years ago. We met in St. Louis. We had people from all over the country come and spend the weekend.
Oh, that's incredible.
When the USA played in St. Louis about 3 years ago in November, we all went in there and had a big, big weekend.
Oh, that's nice. How did you go from referee to Donut King in Memphis?
I had DeWeese Young Sport, which was the first children's sporting goods store in the United States.
Right.
And we did that, started that in the 86. When I left the Memphis Storm, I opened up DeWeese Young Sport. And we changed the way companies looked at children's clothes and sporting goods. Now they have them. People thought we were crazy. So Adidas used us as a store. They'd get something new or have an idea. They'd send it to us just to see what happens. So I used to eat, when I owned DeWeese Young Sport, I'd eat at Leonard's Barbecue, which was right next to where Folks Follies, where they park everything, is. I'd eat there 3 or 4 days a week, and I would eat breakfast almost every morning, Gibson Donuts. So Lowell Gibson had some heart blockage, and his son-in-law was one of the most famous heart doctors in the country. So his son-in-law says, you've got to do something. You're going to go out feet first. So he sold it to me at pennies on the dollar, and I bought it as an investment for my oldest son, Blair. Blair ran it for the first 2 years. I continued to run the DeWeese Company, and I'd only go in when I wanted to eat. And after all of his friends wanted him to go out at night, stay out at night on Friday and Saturday. And after 2 years, he says he had had enough. And so he moved to Italy to find himself and became fluent in Italian. And Rita and I took it over. So she ran it for about 4 or 5 years. And then after 4 or 5 years, she says she's had enough stress. I took it over, and it was doing better than what I was doing. So I went, and I've been running it ever since. And we're now the largest single donut shop by volume, this one owner, one location in the country. Now, there's places that have 4 or 5 locations in the city, and they'll make them and send them out there. But just one location, one owner, we're the largest in the country now.
And it's terrific because you have – a really simple shop. You have the pastries, you have coffee, you have milk, and then you have booths, you have a couple of tables in there. People love the food so much that they will sit down with strangers just because they need a place to sit to enjoy a donut. It actually kind of brings people together, and people are walking out of there.
Happens
with boxes
every day.
But you've been really blessed, haven't you? Because you've been on a lot of the cable channels, food networks, and
we've been on there 6 times on either the Cooking Channel, the Travel Channel. Alton Brown loves us. They did an article about 3 or 4 years ago in New York Times Magazine, a 3-page article on him about food. And they asked him where the best food in America was, not donuts. And he says, his quote was, without a doubt, Memphis, Tennessee, Gibson Donuts has the best glazed donuts in America and a Chinese pizza place called Fong's in Des Moines, Iowa.
Well, I've been to half of those places on that list. I've been to Gibson. I hadn't been to Fong's yet, but maybe that's a road trip one day heading up.
Often we'll tweet something, and within 2 weeks, it'll have a quarter million views.
How about that?
Let me tell you, you just don't know how lucky and how blessed we are.
And you had some recent expansion over there, right? I mean, you're not thinking
about...
Well,
we built a room on the back 10 by 40 so that we could put all of our mixers back there, which gave us more room in the kitchen so that we could, say, do chocolate sprinkles and white sprinkles at the same time. We needed more, and we used storage back in the back. So we needed more space for storage, got the mixers out of that so we could be more efficient in the kitchen. And my son, Britton, gets all the credit there because he's really running most of the things now, especially in the kitchen. So I'm very, very proud of him and several other things. We've had to start cooking 24 hours a day on Thursday for Friday, Friday for Saturday and Sunday. We're thinking about putting another one in the back, and Britton came up with this. So he is really earning every penny that he makes. He's doing a phenomenal job.
So coming by 2030, second story?
No, no. I've kind of gone into semi-retirement. Yeah. I'm leaving earlier on the weekend. Yeah.
Don DeWeese, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for giving me so much time in our podcast audience time. It's been great to relive a lot of that because there's a lot of Memphis soccer history that's played on the pitch, kicking the ball around, but really you have helped filled a big knowledge gap for us on what has happened in between the lines and running the lines as an official, and it's a great story about how you started volunteering and then so many great things happened. It's been an absolute privilege to have you in today, and thank you so much again for giving us your time on My Three Subs.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
If you're ever in the neighborhood, go on by Gibson's Donuts and pick up a dozen glaze and a cup of coffee and sit down, talk some soccer if you see Don in there. I know he'd love to do that.
More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
I love talking soccer, but I also love talking about real estate too. And people ask me about both a lot. And one of the big questions I get in real estate is, how's the housing market? The housing market looks great and interest rates are near historical lows. And really, it all comes down to, when is the time right for you? If you're ready to make your move, give me a call. Tim Van Horn at Crylike Realtors. 901-756-8900 is my office number. Brody, can I give him my cell number? Oh, I can? Okay. 901-262-5000. That's my cell phone. You can also go to my website, timvanhorn.com. I can help you with your move around the block, around the city, around the state, and even around the world, too. I have a network of relocation-certified agents just ready to help you. They are dying for your business, and I can put you in touch with those. All it takes is pick up the phone, give me a call. 901-756-8900. That's my office number. You can call me at my cell, 901-262-5000. Or just go online. Check me out at timvanhorn.com. That's timvanhorn.com with Crylike Realtors.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. And we have added time to the podcast.
Before we get further into added time, I forgot to mention, and I would be remiss to if I didn't mention, that Jonjo Shelvey scored again. The elf the Shelvey.
Yes.
And I understand he went bottom shelf.
He went bottom shelf. He was reachable. Against, don't touch him.
Against Southampton, as Newcastle won again. And that's his fifth goal of the year. My question would be, is that enough to crack the dandy dozen of the Premier League?
Not yet. Keep the magic flowing.
Well, we will find out in maybe a few moments here as it's time to play a brand new game. It's guess a half dozen to win a dozen. So
yeah,
I've got in front of me the top 12, which, by the way, there's like a six-way tie for 12th place. So there's 17 names on this list of the top goal scorers this season in the Premier League.
Okay.
If you can give me six correct before you give me three wrong,
okay,
I'll get you a dozen glazed donuts from Gibson's Donuts, courtesy of Don DeWeese.
Don DeWeese. All right, here we go. I'm going to start out with one that I'm pretty confident on, all right? And
if you've been paying attention to the program, you should get some of these.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Lionel Messi.
In England.
Oh, dadgummit, there goes one of mine. Does that count as a wrong? Harry Kane.
Harry Kane. That is correct.
Yes!
Nine goals. Harry Kane is correct.
All right. There's one.
And I know you were kidding on the first one. I won't give you a buzzer.
Oh, thanks. I'm going to go with Rickarlison.
Rickarlison.
Rickarlison has just 6 goals this year,
which
ranks 12th in the league. That is correct.
Take that buzzer back. Yes.
All right. What we call a psych in the business.
Yeah.
All right. So two down, two. 4 to go Carlson. With 3 strikes.
Wait, you said 6. That's good to go. All right. I'm going to go with one of my maybes, and that's Pulisic.
Christian Pulisic has scored frequently in the last month. He has a total of 5 goals. Oh, I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
No! I thought he had 6. I thought he was on a streak.
He was on a streak. He just hasn't streaked that much. He put some clothes on.
I'm going to go with my glad bag man.
Now we're talking England.
Damn it.
Premier League.
How about Leicester City's Jamie Vardy?
Jamie Vardy leads the league with 16. That is correct.
Yeah. That was an easy low-hanging fruit. All right, so I got 3.
3 with 2 strikes remaining.
Okay, let's go to Man City. Paul Pogba.
Do I give you 2 strikes because you got their answer wrong and the
wrong
team?
Man U. Oh, he's at Man U.
Paul Pogba is incorrect. No.
No.
All right, 3 to go. 1 strike remaining. Tis the Christmas season.
I'll be
therefore,
on the Shelby.
Therefore, you get a gift, and before you say
Wait,
anything
Messi
else.
Wait, Messi didn't count. You can't
right,
count.
I didn't count Messi.
Okay.
I counted Pulisic.
1.
And I also counted Pogba.
That's 2.
So hang on. Now, because this is the giving season, I'm going to help you with a massive clue here to get you to number 4. Your favorite team's leading goal scorer.
Oh, my gosh. Wait. Leading goal scorer on Arsenal? Oh, it's
transfer
window.
Yeah,
they're getting right over there. I'm gonna go back to my notes. Hang on.
3 names.
Yeah. It's I'm a bad man.
That is correct.
Aubameyang.
Judges will accept that. That is correct. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
That's what I said. Aubameyang. I'm a boomerang.
All right. So you have.
He'll be back, by the way. I don't think he's getting transferred.
All right. So you have 2 more. You got to get.
Oh, my God, 2 more.
And you have no margin for error. Let me recap who you've given correctly.
Okay.
Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Rickarlison.
Yeah.
Still don't know how you got that one.
Rickarlison?
Yeah.
I knew that one.
Because he doesn't make a pass, right?
Right. He doesn't. That's all he does is shoot.
Jamie Vardy.
Yeah.
I'm a bad man. The 2 that you've missed are Pulisic, Pogba, and 2 guys that don't even play in the league.
Man, and I was sure. I thought Pulisic would have been one of those bottom dwellers for sure.
Come on, man.
Oh, it's freaking hell. What's his name?
You got this, man.
Yeah, I can't think of the guy's name.
Can you spell it?
Nope. M-A-N-E.
That is correct. Sadio Mane.
Mane
is correct.
Mane. Mane is money.
He has 9 goals in the season. He's tied for 5th. All right. This is do or die here. Unless you name a player that's not even in the league, then we'll give you a do-over. All right, so you've got Kane, Rickarlison, Vardy, Aubameyang, and Mane. You missed with Pulisic.
Yeah.
You missed with Pogba. Now, we do know that the bottom net has been set at 6 goals. All you need to do is name 1 more player that has scored 6 or more goals. Just think of the obvious. Look at the teams and just think of maybe a prolific goal scorer, and you should be home free.
I wish it was LV on the Shelby just because I want to say his name, but it's not him.
No, because he's tied with Pulisic.
Yeah.
I'm looking over this, and I do see on the notes, I see a name that is on the list.
Crap. Let me go back over the notes. Cheat sheet, yes. We've already named Chelsea's top scorer. I've already said Rickarlison, right?
You've said Rickarlison, and you can't use him again. You can't phone a friend because we don't have that technology. Would you like a 50-50?
I already named a Jamie Vardy, right?
Yep.
All right.
Can't use him again.
All right.
Kane, Rickarlison, Vardy, Aubameyang, and Mane. Would you like a 50-50?
Yeah, give me a 50-50.
I will give you a 50-50. Dele Alli of Tottenham or Mo Salah of Liverpool?
Oh, I'm going to go with Liverpool. Mo Salah, Liverpool. Come on, he scores in like every other game.
I will remind you, and by the way, if you heard that squeaking noise, I moved the microphone. I will remind you that Dele Alli has been scoring frequently since Jose took over. I just want to remind you that.
Yeah, but
Are you going to stick with it?
Yeah, why not? Go big or go home.
Dele Alli, I will tell you,
has 19.
has scored 5 goals. Mo Salah scored 7. That is correct.
Yes! You gave it away with, what's his name, taking over. He hadn't been there that long.
but he scored like 2 or 3 goals.
Yeah, I know, but still, 2 or 3 ain't like 20.
I didn't say he had scored 0 before.
True. Boy, I did take a chance.
You rolled some dice. Real quickly, also in the list, Tammy Abraham with 11 goals.
Wait, I forgot to hit my right buzzer. Yes.
There you go. All right, Tammy Abraham with 11 goals, Aubameyang and Rashford with 10. A guy you might have heard of, Sergio Aguero, with 9.
Man.
Danny Ings with Southampton with 9. Timu Pukki with Norwich.
I didn't think that was going to happen. Pukki, really? He scored 8 already?
Yep. Raheem Sterling with Man City with 8. Salah with 7. Ashley Barnes with Burnley with 6. Rickarlison, Jimenez, Mope, Wilson, and Wood all with 6. I would have, my jaw would have hit the floor if you would have said Chris Wood of Burnley.
Yeah.
With 6.
I don't think he's even on his own radar.
Well, congratulations. You have you have a dozen donuts coming your way from Gibson's Donuts. And we want to thank our sponsors, easeofapproval.com. We want to thank also Financial Wealth Services here in Memphis. And thank you for playing along, being a good sport with this, Brody. You were able to win the big contest.
I was able to squeeze out of my big old bottom. That's a throwback.
The acceptance speech we were all waiting for. Have yourself a great week, everybody, and thank you all for listening. We got a great one in store for next week as we have an athletic trainer that's going to be coming on. We're going to talk about the fine points of being able to tell when a player is really hurt and
magic spray.
Magic spray. Have a great week, everybody.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more of My Three Subs podcast, A Soccer Odyssey, at 1019kissfm.com and on the iHeartRadio app.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.